All right, welcome back to, this is component number one of our entire foundation of making every day Saturday. And the first component is, how do you find your passion? This is what so many people want to know the answer to. Good Lord, I mean, just ask anybody. Are you doing what you're really passionate about? Do you really love what you do? Honest answer? Eh, not so much. Then why are you doing it? Why are they doing it? Three guesses. First is money, second money, and the third is money, okay? What if you couldn't fail? What if failure was not even in the cards for you? Would you still do what it is that you're doing? Or would you not do? Would you go for your dream, said a better way? Of course you would. If you knew that you would never fail, that wasn't even a possibility, would you go for it? Of course you would. But fear plays into this, you know, discovering what it is you're passionate about. Because when you think about it, all right, there's always that, yeah, but I can't really earn income doing that. Why not? Like, who said that? Think of some of the strangest occupations, okay? I've had so many coaching clients, they do things that I would have never even thought that, you know, you'd be able to monetize. Certainly replace a career, guitar lessons, piano lessons, how to coach teenage lacrosse, weight loss, and of course you got the fitness. I got a buddy of mine, Thomas Tadlock, who's built an entire brand off being a vegan bodybuilder. I mean, how narrow is that? Teaching people how to be a vegan bodybuilder. There's so many amazing occupations out there that had these people never even blazed the trail, nobody knew would know it was possible. You know, for me, in my journey of finding my passion, I was that individual. I thought, well, I love to speak. Which is amazing, being an individual who suffered from a debilitating stuttering problem. You know, I loved when I finally figured out how to speak without stuttering all the time. And I mean, guys, it was pretty bad. I was like, couldn't get a word out. It was very frustrating. But then I conquered that to the best that I could. I still kind of stutter and stammer a little bit, which is pretty funny being a speaker. But I never thought, yeah, I would love to do that. I would love to motivate and inspire people, but you can't really make a living doing that. And then I thought, well, what if I could? Like, what if I started thinking, what if that wasn't an issue? Like, failing wasn't even a part of it. So I thought, yeah, all right, let me test the waters a little bit. So when I was in my job, I asked if I could do a little bit of training in front of groups and individuals in the office. We're talking 10, 15 people. And the results were great. I mean, people didn't resonate as much with the actual content as they did the way the message was delivered. That was a big aha moment for me, that people don't retain very much of what they actually see and hear. You know, it takes a few times, repetition. That's why, look, there's one thing I want you to definitely do is go through these trainings over and over again, because you're going to miss stuff the first time around. You're going to catch it the second time, the third time, the fourth time around, and then it's going to sink in. And go, wow, when did I miss Sam saying that? And that's when I started training in front of small groups of people, 5, 10, 15 people in the room at work, and there was no pressure. It's not like I was going to lose my job if I did a horrible training. And that's another thing. We put so much pressure on ourselves. When we go to find what it is that we're passionate about, we always try to find the reason why it won't work. Well, somebody else is already doing that. Well, that's been tried before. Okay. Well, that's the case. And we'll talk about this in the section talking about failure, the big F word. But look, when I first started, I tried to sabotage my own success as well. Googling motivational speakers. Oh my God, look at all these people. I'm not Zig Ziglar, Tony Robbins, Jim Rohn, Dennis Waitley. Oh my God, there's no way I can compete with those people. And slowly started to talk myself out of what I was passionate about. Do you find yourself doing that? Yeah, Sam, I do. I'll say, well, I can do that, you know, dog training or anything that really what I really love to do. But I can't make either I can't make a living doing it, money, okay, or somebody else has already done it, you're already judging yourself and sabotaging your success. Or I can't do it as well, or nobody would pay me because everybody already knows that. There's so many ways that let me ask you to do this, okay? Write down just a few things that you really love to do. All right. Write a whole list of things that you love to do, however long that list is. For me, it was, I loved real estate investing. I loved speaking, but real estate investing, I knew you can make money because there was all those people making money, infomercials of people making money doing it. But speaking, when I really drilled down, I was like, geez, I'd love to just speak. Okay, I love to crack jokes and inspire and do all these crazy things. And if I could just get paid to be crazy, how about just being paid to be who you are? What a concept that is. Wow. Being paid to celebrate your own unique DNA and forgetting about pleasing everybody. Because you know that's never going to happen. You're never going to please everybody. So why not focus on a group of individuals who would really appreciate your product, your service, and your message? Did you ever think that that's possible? Well, okay, here's my first advice. Step one, go practice. Just go practice for free. If you're a speaker, for example, go speak for free. There's hundreds of groups, civic organizations in your community that would love to have you come in and present to them, all right? Oh my God, I can't. Of course you can. It's free. Nobody's paying you anything. There's no pressure whatsoever. When I train speakers, this is what I tell them to do. Get used to speaking for free. Well, how do I make any money? Remember, it's this. It's the passion. It's not the money. It's the passion. Well, Sam, how do I get paid? You get paid. You don't have to quit your job. You can keep working. This is what I tell speakers. You don't got to quit your day job. You can speak during lunch, before work, after work, on the weekends, and even whenever it is. Whatever you want to do it. Just get that passion going. And then get feedback. Great feedback. Oh my gosh. When I first spoke to a group of people here at the Kenwood Country Club, it's the first time I ever got paid. It was their annual meeting. And I was like, I tried to talk myself out of it, Finally, and how did they find me, by the way? Because I wrote articles with the title Cincinnati Motivational Speaker. And I would just upload them to article directories like goarticles.com and just Google article directories, and you can submit your articles for free and just start writing content on the topic that you're really passionate about. People bring you in to speak. They searched Cincinnati Motivational Speaker. I also had a podcast as well. So they brought me in to speak, and I shared my message about my daughter, Madeline, about every day being Saturday, and it brought them to tears. Like, oh my God, people are crying at this message. This is crazy. I didn't even really have, I had kind of some notes, maybe a few slides, but I just spoke from the heart because passion is the universal language, is it not? I mean, you can speak Spanish, French, German, English, whatever it is, but when you're speaking passionately from the heart, it moves people. It moves them. So if you're a speaker, get your message out there and get the feedback and start getting all those accolades and standing ovations and emails and testimonials from people who loved your message. You could build your brand just like that. And look, if you got to go be a waiter, a waitress, or sweep floors, or you know, cook, or do what I did in a job, sit in a cubicle, who cares? That's only temporary. Remember, pain is temporary. Misery is optional, okay? You don't have to be miserable. You can have a little bit of pain, but you know what? Here's what you're going to find. When you start working part-time on your dream, this full-time thing you're doing that you really don't like to do that much, it becomes a little more tolerable and actually becomes enjoyable because then you look at this job or whatever you're doing right now that isn't what you want to be doing full-time. You're looking at this as a vehicle that affords you something that your current passion that isn't paying you anything can't do. So for me, it became fun. I viewed my job in a positive light, no matter how much I hated the thought of being in this corporate slave camp, okay? I viewed it as a positive, and boy, when you make that shift of turning something so negative into a positive, it really, really turns everything on its ear, you know? It's like, wow, this job is actually paying for my health insurance, giving me a salary, bonus, commission, allowing me use of the fax machine, the copy machine, all these things. I was copying all of these sales articles and internet marketing. I'm self-taught internet marketing because back in 2005 and 2006, I would get in the office at 5 in the morning and I would copy all of these things, how to do search engine optimization, search engine marketing, how to build a website, blog, all that stuff. And I would just read and skim, scroll. And while everybody was still sleeping at 5 a.m., I was taking these 3-ring binders that they would give us for training at work. I would pop the rings open. I would dump all the content from the work-related material in the garbage bin, and I would start putting the copies of my How to Be an Internet Marketer and an Entrepreneur in there, and I would study them, and I would eat my lunch at my desk and all this stuff while everybody else was off talking about politics and how bad the job was and all that stuff. I was working still on my passion. I was injecting my passion into everything I did. So I wanted to be a speaker. So I would go up to people in the office. I'd be, hey, how's it going, champion? Can I give you some great inspiration for today? No, Crowley, get lost, man. You're a loser. Every day's Saturday. Every day's Monday, you bankrupt jerk coming in here. Hey, cool. Water off a duck's back, baby. Ain't no shame in my game because I'm going someplace. You, and I'm just thinking to myself, that's awesome, man. That's awesome. You're a miserable mope, negative know-it-all going nowhere. I'm on fire. Big difference, isn't it? So how do you find your passion? Well, you know what it is that you love to do. There's something you love to do. Even if it's something as simple as encouraging others, you could make a million-dollar career. And I'll show you how inside the academy to do that. But right now, we're talking about the basic foundation. How do you find this thing that eludes so many people? It's right under your nose. It's the stuff that you do when, as your muse, when you're just kind of on your own, at home, driving in the car. What is it? The tapes, the audios that you listen to, the YouTube videos that you view, the shows that you watch on TV. What is it that other people, they speak to you every day? You're just not listening. Remember, turn the words of listen around and you get the word silent. Are you silent? Are you listening to when people are speaking and sowing seeds into you is what it is that you really do? You know, I had a conversation with a friend of mine, God, it had to have been 6 or 8 months ago. And he's in a network marketing business. And he's like, you know, I'd like to go out and do my own speaking gig and build my own brand out over and above network marketing. Look, I love network marketing, MLM, but it's not really feeding my soul, you know, and knock my board over, feeding my passion. I go, you know what you should do? You and your wife have been in the network marketing space for how long? Well, geez, I don't know, late 90s, early part of 2000? I go, so the better part of 15 years, you and your wife have been in this industry, you know, albeit maybe with different companies and things like that. But you've been entrepreneurs that long, right?
Yeah.
Do you think that there's other couples out there that may want to know how they can work together, see more of each other, spend more time together, as well as earn income? And immediately it goes to, well, you know, we're not $1 million. Yeah. I'm not asking if you're $1 million earners. You're going to default, like you gotta be better than everybody. I ask you about it. You see one trick ahead of the dog here, okay? That's all you gotta do. Are you passionate about spending time with your spouse? Yes. Are you passionate about enjoying that time with your spouse? Yes. Do you know a little bit about how to do that? Yes. Well, of course you do. You left the corporate game to go do this with your spouse. Of course you know how. Do you know how many people would love to know how they can quit their job, spend more time with their spouse, as well as earn income? Not $1 million. Doesn't need to be $1 million. How about just enough to pay the bills and have a little bit of breathing room, okay? Would their life be more enjoyable? Yes. Would your life be more enjoyable, more passionate, if you impacted the lives of other couples out there, showing them how they can do this? Yes. Well, then do it. Okay. Okay. Well, where do we go next? Well, I'm giving you the concept in your mind. Where you go from there, there's a thing called Google. Okay, this is what I was explaining to the person. You can go how to write an ebook, how to create a YouTube video, upload your own to a private playlist on YouTube, how to create a podcast, a lot of different ways, writing articles, social media marketing. That's the how-to part. The how is easy. That's the easy part. There's all that free information you'll ever want to get out there. And there's people like myself who sell courses on how to speak and podcast and things like that. But you can go find that out on your own, but however, other people can go find out how to work with their spouse and earn income. But you know how you're really going to get rich? You know how you're going to get wealthy? Is you taking all that information that's available out there that you have also, your intellectual property, putting that in a package and selling it to somebody, making it a lot easier for them to get from zero to 60, okay? People want to get where they want to go quickly with the least amount of effort. And when you create a course around that, they'll gladly pay you for it. Would that scratch your itch in finding your path? Oh my God, yes, it would. So let me ask you, what is it that you like to do? Cooking, cleaning, gardening, legal matters, mortgage, finance, video, lighting, how to fix a furnace, whatever it is. What do you love to do on the weekend? Well, man, I'll never forget this. God, this was many years ago. One of my very first coaching clients that came on board, sweet, sweet lady, lived in the Midwest here. And her husband had lost his job. And she had found every day a Saturday online and hired me so she could be coached, her and her husband. And she goes, we got to replace my husband's income. Okay, all right. Let's not come at it from a frame of desperation, because then that will cloud your judgment about what it is that, how you're going to monetize this passion. And I said, give me an idea of what you love to do. Oh, what I love to do. I'm speaking to the wife. What I love to do, Sam, I really can't make money yet. I mean, all I've ever been is a housewife and raised a kid. I'm like, ho, put the brakes on right there, okay? Don't minimize being a homemaker and also raising your kids. That's the hardest job on planet Earth, okay? So do not minimize. You could make $1 million just teaching people how to do that, okay? And keeping their sanity. Oh my God, you're still sane? That's amazing, because I'm not. And she said, I said, this whole cooking thing. You mentioned cooking. Tell me more about cooking. Like, what? How long have you been cooking? And she laughed. Oh my God, since I was probably in my late teens, I've really embraced cooking. And I've always been, I'm 58 years old. She was thinking she was 58, so that's 40 years. I go, 40 years? Wow. Of cooking. Let me ask you a question. Do you have any recipes? she burst out laughing. Like, I'm asking the dumbest questions to get to this right here. I knew they were dumb questions, but the simplest of answers come from the simplest of questions. So many times we want to go deeper down the rabbit hole. There's got to be more. Yeah, and listen. Daddy is tomorrow Saturday. So many times my daughter asked that question when she was 2.5, 3 years old. I never listened until that one night, Monday, November 2004. Cold, cold evening. Driving home, 7 o'clock at night, up Interstate 71 from downtown Cincinnati to our suburban home. Walk in the door, throw my suit coat across the chair, undo the tie down to my navel, drag my lifeless body up to my little daughter Madeline's room. She was 3.5 at the time, and she had just gone to sleep. Missed it again. Dinner, nah, wasn't going to happen. She sat up in bed again, and this time I was present for the very simple question, Daddy, is tomorrow Saturday? I said, Madeline, you ask me that all the time. Why do you keep asking, is tomorrow Saturday? Because that's the only time we get a chance to see each other, Daddy. I wish every day could be Saturday. Simple. Nothing earth-shattering there. How many parents do you think hear that from their children and don't even listen? Right? They're passionate about their children. It's not that they don't love them. It's that they're focused on everything else swirling around them. You know, got to pay the bills, got to bring the car into the shop, got to get tuition paid, all this stuff, got to please the boss, send emails, BlackBerry messages, all this stuff. Your passion is going to be found from the very simplest of questions and the very simplest of answers for those who love you the most, that are willing to speak with you and speak this answer into you. But are you present enough? Are you silent enough? Are you willing to listen for that answer? So as I'm speaking to the housewife, the homemaker, cooking, I'm assuming you have a few recipes. She described this drawer in her home. And it, to me, the drawer had to have been so cavernous. It's like a cave in the middle of a jungle. I'm envisioning this huge drawer of recipes she had. She goes, Sam, I've got notebooks and just papers and all my meatball sauce recipe and my famous chicken rotisserie chicken recipe. Oh my gosh, the sauces that I can make, the palate. It just, make it unbelievable. And she got, holy cow. When we started talking about her cooking, it was as if I was talking to a different person. You know, prior to that, we were talking about jobs and finances, and it was kind of this mundane, mopey-dopey kind of a, oh, it's okay. We started talking about her cooking. She lit up like a Christmas tree. I said, that is your passion. Oh, but I can't make money, Sam. I can't make any money. There we go again. Just water on the fire. The fire burns, and we throw the water on it. The fire burns, and we just douse it with water. Stop putting out the fire within you because you don't think that there's a market for it, for example. Okay? I said, what if I could prove to you that there's a market exists for you and your recipes? Okay? So, okay, we get the fire burning again around the pasture. Get the fire going again. Oh, that'd be great, Sam. That'd be great. Awesome. Have you ever heard of Rachel Ray, Bobby Flay, Martha Stewart? Oh, but I'm not that. There's the water. Water's going back on the fire again. Here it is, just in bucketfuls. Stop with that. I'm speaking to you now. Stop with that. Because you're having these same thoughts. Oh, I can do that. I love to do this. But. I don't know what's killed more dreams in that three-letter word. Probably nothing more than the word but. But I can't. But I'm not them. But I can't make money. But somebody has already beat me to that idea. Look, before Facebook, there was MySpace. Remember MySpace? I think it's still around. Everybody was on that in 2006, 2007 when I got started online. Facebook wasn't even, you know, but just, I didn't even join Facebook till 2008. You know, Twitter, same time frame. I think I got on board around then as well. None of that stuff was even popular back then. You know, because if I wasn't on it, it wasn't popular. But seriously, you know, thinking that someone else has already beat you to the marketplace with your idea is crazy. You're going to do it your way. You know why? Because when you inject this into the equation, there ain't no stopping you. Yeah, I talked about the palate. Reminds me of a story. I was out to dinner in Atlanta one time. I was speaking at an event. And I ordered soup, okay, before my entree. And this waiter was all fired up. This young kid, he was like 20 years old, man. He was jacked up. I am so thankful he waited on me that night. Because you ever have a waiter or waitress when you're out to dinner that they don't want to be there? Okay, here's our specials. You got the mahi mahi, the steak burger, blah, blah, and they're just the robot. They don't even want to be there. We all know. We've had that type of service. And I love my waiters and waitresses. Being in the food and beverage business back in the day, I was a bartender. Look, nobody tips more than people that used to be in that business. Because you know what it's like not having a good tipper, right? Always tip your waiters and waitresses, especially the good ones. So this kid says, I go, how's the soup? It's like French onion or something like that. He goes, oh my God, this soup is amazing. I said, really? Wow, tell me more about it. He said, what's your name? I said, Sam. Right then, he had me. Right, anybody that asked my name, you got me. Because now I know you got this working. Now I know you love what you do. My 20% that I tip everybody, I don't care if it's bad service, just went to 30, okay? And it might even go higher than that based on your next sentence, kid, okay? You go, oh, Sam, the French onion soup is amazing. It's going to make your palate dance. I'm like, wow. I don't even know what the hell my palate is, but if you're going to make it start dancing, we're on to something, man. Give me the soup. I don't even order soup. I don't know why I even asked about the soup, because I very rarely have soup prior to my entree. I always have a salad, but very rarely have soup. This kid, I would have bought, if there was anything bigger than a bowl, I would have bought it. If you'd have said, hey, we got a bucket of the soup, I would have bought a bucket of it. That's how much this kid sold. You know why? Because he had this. He had passion for what he did. This kid wasn't making a career out of his waiter job. He's probably in college, just paying his way through, but oh, gosh, did he bring his A game? That's what you need to do. Okay? That's what you need to do. In whatever you decide to do, understand, the only wrong answer is not choosing something that you're passionate about. Because we can all choose something that we can do to pay the bills. I mean, whatever it is. There's money, there's an abundance of money out there. And once you get that concept down, and we'll train on that as well, but once you get that concept down, that there's just abundance all around you. It's like taking a teaspoon out of the ocean. It's not like, oh, someone else made money teaching Facebook, so I can't do it. No, there's an ocean full of income to be earned out there. It's just like somebody taking a teaspoon out of that ocean. Okay, understand that concept, and you'll be way ahead of the game as well. But boy, you start finding this guy here, this passionate thing that you really love to do, and quit throwing the buckets of water on the fire. You know, I mean, God, if you have children, they really teach a lot. They're excited about everything. And then the older they get, the less excited they get. Like my 9 and 10, or my 10 and 11 now, my 10 and 11-year-old daughters, they get excited about everything. Like, hey, you guys want to go to Dunkin' Donuts? Hey, we're in it. Jumping in the back of the car. My 15-year-old, what kind of donuts? Okay, that right there. Back in the day, when she was 9, 10, she was in the back of that car. Okay, we were going to Dunkin' Donuts. Then that 15 gets to be 18, 21, 25, 28, 30 years old. It's like a circle, you know? And it's funny because we start out incredibly excited. My little one-year-old daughter, Susan, holy moly. I almost get in tears talking about this. This girl has been through so much in her young life between being born at 1 pound and on a ventilator and having to trach tube. This girl is now walking, which is hilarious. It's like just a little walking around like this little person. She just started walking like a week ago. And the passion with which she goes after light, I mean anything. I mean, she sees the remote control on the couch and like a huge smile. But she's just happy to wake up. She's happy just to be up and around her family. She just gets excited. And I live life through her because I just see this girl who's just so excited and laughing and loving everything about life. Doesn't need a reason, you know? Doesn't need any reason other than the fact that she woke up. So we start like that. Your kids are like that. And then we get to, you know, the teenage years and we got to fit in. So we need all the nice clothes and we're dealing with that too. You know, same thing. It doesn't change as an adult. We need all the cameras and video and all of these nice things and a car and a house. We're just keeping up with the Joneses until we realize it's a zero-sum game. It's a zero-sum game. There's no winning that game. There's no winning it. I try to tell my daughters that. You try to tell if you have children. I know you tell your kids that. They figure it out eventually, but they ain't figuring it out at 15 years old, okay? You can show them and take them on mission trips and show them what's going on in Nicaragua and Central America and all these far parts of the world and the region that really understand what it's like, you know, like I said, to sleep on a dirt floor. They'll get it eventually because as entrepreneurs, here's what happens to us as well. We start out in our young journey, eyes wide open. You know, we can do anything. And then we get kicked back a little bit. Somebody talks about us in a negative way or leaves a negative review on our website or a blog or Facebook. They take a shot at us. We go back, you know, get the wind taken out of us. Then we don't make money as fast as we want to make money. And we keep dousing the fire, you know, with all these yeah buts about our passion. But then we get excited again. The problem is, most people don't come into an academy like this and watch videos like this, okay? They don't brush their brain. It's funny, we brush our teeth every day, every single day. Would you go a day without brushing your teeth? No, not unless you wanted to lose all your friends real quick. But yet, we'll go years and not brush this guy up here, our mind. We just won't do it. We won't watch videos like this. We won't listen to audios, you know, because we think, oh, it's all motivation. Well, you're right, it is. Man, is it so needed. Because without that, it doesn't matter what you know. You know, you can go get knowledge anywhere. But unless you're inspired to actually do something with that knowledge, then it really doesn't matter at all. So this whole circle of life, we get to a point where we figure out, you know what? It really doesn't matter about the house and the cars and everything else. What really matters is finding out what I love to do. Now, you're going to do that. You're going to go through this training. You're going to do it. You're going to monetize your passion. Let me tell you something right now, and I mean this. I don't know, okay, aside from taking your next breath, being healthy, all of that, loving your marriage, everything, all of that goes along with that obvious stuff, okay? There's nothing better than this right here. There is not a, this is the holy grail of life. finding out what you're passionate. So here's my advice on doing this as well. The simplest answers, reminding you, are the most powerful. Practice, practice, practice. Give it a try. Okay, step into the water like we talked about in a previous video. Put your toe in there. See how it feels. Do you like it? Do you like the way it feels? Are you getting some feedback? Are you tripping up a little bit too? Come on, that's part of it, all right? It's not all about just jumping off the high dive. When you learn to swim, you don't go into the 10-foot deep end and just start, you drown. Put your toe in. Do you like it? Practice. Practice some more. Is it something that you don't like? Quit. No need to stay. Look, guys, we're in a free country. You can do whatever the hell you want to do. You don't have to stay. I wrote a book called Quitters Always Win and Winners Always Quit. Gave a speech on it. Several keynotes. Quitters always win and winners always quit. Now, obviously, that's counter to winners never quit, quitters never win. But here's why I wrote the book and here's why I gave the speech. Because if there's something you don't like what you're doing, quit. If you don't like the way you look, then quit eating the bad stuff. If you don't like the way you feel, then feed yourself. Quit being around negative, toxic people. Sometimes that's the people that are closest to you, friends and family. All right? But that's why I said winners always quit. They quit doing what it is that's hurting them, not helping them. Helping, hurting, helping, hurting. I used to have, man, I'll tell you, I've told this story 1,000 times. You may have heard it, maybe not. I had a major shift in my life playing the quitters game. It was awesome. Pulled over to the side of the road on I-71 here outside of Cincinnati one day at work, and I said, I'm done. I'm done with negative people. I'm just done with these people. So I went through my cell phone and I went helping, hurting, helping, hurting, helping, hurting. And I went through each individual. By the time I was done with that exercise, I deleted 50 contacts off my cell phone. If you're sending somebody right to voicemail, they shouldn't be in your cell phone. Oh, call from them. Oh, ignore. Why do you got them in your phone? That's somebody that needs to go. Okay? That's quitting toxic relationships. Doesn't make them bad people. You can still send them a card at the holidays if you want to. You don't got to make an enemy. But you can't allow these people inside your inner circle. It's a big concept as well. They're going to throw water on this thing as well. And don't ask them about what your passion should be, the negative people. Bob Proctor has been instrumental in my success. Shared this little tidbit of knowledge with me. This was 4 years ago. We shared this stage at an event in Hawaii together. And I always ask Bob, soaking him for just wisdom, you know. And by the way, if you don't know Bob Proctor, just Google his name and just watch all his videos and buy all his audios. He's awesome. So, like Bob, take me back to the early years, the early 1960s, 61. I know he worked in a firehouse making $4,000 a year, but that wasn't his passion. And then he started a janitorial company that was cleaning commercial cleaning offices. I mean, God, he had them overseas in Europe and U.S. and things like that. And he did really well, making over $100,000 in 1 year. Guys, this was the 60s, running a commercial cleaning business. They had like 5-6 offices. But where he really struck gold was he latched onto this book called Think and Grow Rich. And he just devoured it. Napoleon Hill, Think and Grow Rich. You may have heard of it. And he started reading and reading and reading and reading all the concepts in there. Now, some 50 years later, Bob is one of the highest paid thought leaders in our space, okay? Traveling the world teaching from this book called Think and Grow Rich. And he's been teaching and he carries it with him all the time, everywhere. And when he first started, he started making his own audios, okay? Personal development audios. And he shares a story. He said, I went to a friend's house, Sam, a buddy of mine, good friend of mine. And I said, hey, I really want you to listen to this stuff that I created. It's really good, just great stuff, motivational, inspirational stuff. So you remember we went up to this guy's apartment and he put the cassette tape in. Remember cassette tapes? And his friend was listening to it. He's like, I don't get what is this stuff? What are you doing, Bob? Like, what's up? And immediately Bob sensed that, oof, that I can't be, he's not going to feed this. He's not going to, it's going nowhere. Because you can never say the right thing to the wrong person. You know what I'm talking about? You have any people like that in your life? Conversely, you can never say the wrong thing to the right audience. Very simple. Just switch it. Go find the right audience. Bob quickly figured out, can't hang around this guy anymore. I want to be a speaker. I want to share all of the input I've learned from this book called Think and Grow Rich, but I can't share it with this guy. It's going to drag me down. So maybe it is that you have found what you're passionate about. Maybe it is when you're in the right company and the right environment, you grow. You know, not every plant grows in every single climate. You know, you're not gonna plant an orange tree in Maine or Vermont. You know what I'm talking about? So understand, just by associating with the right people, this will continue to grow and grow and grow. I can tell you my own testimony about finally discovering my passion. When I went out and I launched this Every Day is Saturday, I was still in that cubicle making $39,000 a year. But I would go do speeches at lunchtime and in the evening. And I remember when I launched everydayisaturday.com in July of 2006, I had the storyboards with me. This was back when I had to pay a web designer $3,000. God, I could do it for 20 bucks now. On my own now. But $3,000, they gave me the concept on these storyboards. I met these two guys at a web design company here in Cincinnati. They were a referral. And they laid out the Every Day is Saturday timeline of the homepage. And if you go to archives.org, you can see what the homepage looked like. It was actually a really cool look. But anyway, it wasn't worth $3,000. But they did it. I paid it. Oh, hey, learning, right? Learning. Always learning. Never do that again. But he had the homepage, a picture of my daughter. We did a photo shoot. I mean, the thing looked really nice. Then we had the blog, a podcast, a free ebook I gave away called You Are a Champion. And I remember I was so proud of that storybook. And I brought the storyboards into my office. I should have known better. I should have known better. And I was like showing them to people. And I was like, guys, look at this. It's everydaysaturday.com. Now keep in mind, I'm in a cubicle at a job, okay? Nobody's thinking like this. They all hated what I was doing anyway. Every day is Saturday, you're my champion, you're broke and bankrupt. I'm like, no, it's a mindset, baby. I'm there already. You ain't ever going to get there, but I'm there. And I was so proud. And I walked around like, hey, check it. And I realized, oh my God, I'm done. I'm in the middle of the sales floor. People are looking at my story like, what was that? What is that? Oh my God. How dumb do you look? And then they all started making fun of me, man. Just all taking shots. I'm like, you can't say, can never say the right thing to the wrong people. And don't ever go seeking validation from those who don't have your best interest at heart. Because it's going to have the opposite effect on you. It's going to demoralize you. It's going to deflate you. And it's going to cause you to lose this. And you don't ever want to lose this. This is the rocket fuel for your dream. Don't ever seek validation in what other people who don't have your best interest at heart, don't ever seek it from them, okay? Go for people who are going to empower you and inspire you and be with you and cause you to raise your game so high that you got to come up here just to hang out with them. Those are the people that you want to hang around. But as far as finding your passion, I would venture to guess just now, after seeing this much of the video, you're there. And if you're not there, do the exercise that I just talked about. Write everything you love to do. Don't attach money to it. Don't attach any money to it. Just write a whole list of things that you love to do. And then start knocking out what you're least passionate about. And you'll come back to a couple, two, maybe three things that you really love to do. What's one thing out of that entire list that the window is open right now? There's a low barrier to entry, meaning you don't have to open up a $500,000 or a 10,000 square foot location to do it or anything like that, okay? That the barrier to entry right now is low. It meets your need, and you can start doing it right now. Like I talked about earlier, speaking for free. That was a low barrier to entry. I didn't need any money, just needed some gas in the car. Somebody that would have me come speak and share the Everyday Saturday message. And for me, in my business, it was simply a lot of local network marketing companies, insurance agencies, real estate companies, anybody that had to sell to eat that wanted to be inspired. Country Club, I spoke to their employees as well. And I was happy to share the message because it got me that practice and that affirmation. Don't we all want to be affirmed that the decision that we've made is the right decision? Isn't that what we're all looking to do? We want affirmations. Well, if you really want affirmations, you're never going to get them, people to speak into your soul, unless you get out and actually do what it is that ends up as the number one thing on that list. All right? It's awesome, man. I love talking about this stuff. I hope you enjoyed it as well. Go out, find what it is that you love to do, the money will find you. That much I promise you. And I'll see you on the next video.